Thanks for listening to Stokely and Zach On Demand. Before Zach tells us who is moonwalking in the Hall of Fame today, have you subscribed to our podcast? Subscribe everywhere you get your podcast or at 1043thefan.com.
It's Training Camp 50-50, Teddy versus Drew. Powered by Twin Peaks. Here's Stokely and Zach.
You don't have to think about it. It is right here. It is right now.
Caught in love so strange. Said you now, no, no.
How you doing today, Brandon Stokely?
Doing great. Absolutely great. How you doing?
I'm doing all right, man. Happy hump day to you.
It's Wednesday.
It is Wednesday.
You can see the weekend right around the corner.
Oh, sorry. Say that again.
Can see the weekend right around the corner.
Oh, yeah, you can
smell it.
It's
right there. It's right there.
And for me,
you get an early start to it, huh?
Hey, I love having an early start.
Good for you.
Yeah, I am going to be a groomsman and one of my high school friends' wedding this weekend. He was a young baller when I was a senior. He was a sophomore, and we always looked after him, stayed tight through the years, and asked me to be a groomsman at his wedding. So I'm going to go back home and solo. Solo trip home.
Yeah, that'd be fun. That'd be a good time. See a bunch of your old friends and have a good time. And
gonna tear it up, man.
Love it.
Gonna
love
tear it up.
Yeah. Get the party started early.
It will be started and continued until Sunday. We're out there at practice. What'd you think of practice today?
Awful. Just another bad offensive performance out there. Both quarterbacks looked bad. If I had to give an edge, go ahead and give it to Drew today.
Yeah.
Thought Teddy looked the worser of the two.
The worser.
Yeah.
You don't want that title.
No, you don't want that one. So I'd give it to Drew today. But yesterday was bad. Today was bad. Offense in general didn't look good. Too many balls on the ground. Quarterback's holding the football too long. Today it was Teddy. Seemed like he was the one holding the football a little bit too long.
Yeah.
Yesterday it was Drew. So just overall, not a good day for the offense. Once again, not a good day for the quarterbacks.
What would you say? I just want to get out in front of this, because I see it, sometimes on social media. I see it on the, RamosLaw.com text line. Hey, you know, after Saturday's performance, that was awesome. You know, why are you being so negative? Why are you being negative about the Denver Broncos?
Not being negative. I'm just telling you what I see. You know, I mean, that's all I'm reporting is what I see. Thought Saturday was great. Both quarterbacks played great. Yesterday was bad and today was bad. That's just going off of what I'm witnessing out there, and the last 2 days have been bad. That doesn't mean they're going to play bad on Saturday when they go up against the Seattle Seahawks. They might play great again, but the last 2 days offensively, you know, I was hoping to see, because before that, like the practices that we got to see, not the Minnesota week, because we couldn't watch those practices, we weren't there, but the week before, it started to kind of, you know, it wasn't very good that week. One guy would win one day and he would look okay. The other guy would just look bad. Then the next day would flip flop. But they went out there against Minnesota and played really well. So I was hoping that they would be able to build off of that.
Right.
And continue that momentum. And we would see that in practice. But neither one of them have been able to do that. Neither one of them have been able to really take the mantle and just say, hey, I want this. I deserve this. Let me get this starting job. And it's, you know, I went from last week saying I'd be shocked and surprised if it wasn't Teddy. I still think it will be Teddy. But overall, you know, he's left the door open enough.
He has.
For Drew to kick it down and be the starting quarterback. So it's a coin flip, really. It's what's your flavor of the month? You know, which one do you want? It's like, You know, what do you prefer, the young gunslinger or the more studying force there, the veteran guy, the veteran presence, maybe better in the huddle, better calling the plays, better, you know, all those things with Teddy Bridgewater, or the young guy with the bigger arm and maybe the more upside? Which one do you want, Vic? I mean, that's just really what it's going to boil down to. I don't think we're going to see anything here in the next couple weeks that we say, oh, that's him.
Agreed. I don't think we have seen a guy, and I guess we'd have to go back and really parse through it, but I don't think we've seen any of these guys win consecutive days where it's been like conclusive. Like,
right.
Teddy was
right.
Conclusively better yesterday, and he was clearly better today. We haven't had back-to-back days like that. So, you know, again, to, you know, the, hey, you guys sound like you're being negative. Look, given the choice between being optimistic and pessimistic, I said this to a fan out there, Chris, given the choice between being optimistic and pessimistic, I would much rather be optimistic. I think most people would. Not everyone's wired like that, but most people would. But I just can't watch practice for an hour and a half or whatever it is every day and come in here and tell you something that I'm not seeing. So, but, you know, then again, you go out there on Saturday. I came in here on Monday with three peps in my step. But then you give it right back there, you know, the pessimism and the doubt of a bad football team for the years are stacking up here, folks. It comes right back. You know, that equity is given right back. And, yeah, I'm sure there are people who will paint you a picture with rainbows and sunshine. They're out there. But today's practice, it was, you know, I felt bad. There was some folks in town watching their first ever training camp practice from Sturgis, South Dakota, Gail and Troy. You know, if that's your first ever training camp,
yeah,
Broncos practice.
Apologize for that.
Yeah, I was
had to watch that.
Ouch!
Just drove down here.
Ouch!
Shout out to them. Good chatting with them.
Heck yeah!
But I'll tell you this, Zach. Another thing that we have to realize is, you know what this tells us? How important the running game is.
Mm.
How important the running game is to both of these quarterbacks and to the success of the offense.
Great point.
Darn right it is.
Great point.
Darn right it is. But it really does, because in practice, guess what? Especially when you're doing, you know, certain things, you know they're going to be throwing the football. You don't care about the run. They're not tackling guys. I two-hand touched him. I had him for a three-yard gain. You know, it wasn't a big gain. So that you can get by with that stuff, right? You can't do that in the game. You got to play more honest against the run. And when you're running the ball effectively, guess what? It slows down the pass rush. The linebackers take a step up on play action. The safeties take a step up on play action. The safeties are on their heels, looking in at the run. They take two steps up. Hamler runs by him, 80-yard touchdown. That doesn't happen in practice.
Right.
Oh, those quarter safeties, we talked about the quarters that they're playing. The quarter safety, yeah, they got run support. But in practice, I'm not going to bite up on that run fake, right? Because I don't want to get the ball thrown over my head.
Right.
So it can be a little bit easier in games if that running game is going than it is in practice. And that's what we're seeing. You know, we saw guys wide open during the game. Guys wide open everywhere.
Yep.
AJ Hamler, Trinity Benson. I'm talking about for both quarterbacks.
Yep.
I'm not talking about just for Drew.
Judy in the middle of the field.
Judy
even
in
on
the
that
middle
read.
Of the field.
Yep.
So they're wide open all over the place. We're not quite seeing that in practice.
No.
Like that. And so I think that running game is huge for this offense, obviously, but especially with our quarterback situation.
It is, and it's being asked on the RamosLaw.com text line 303-713-1043. Do you think the defense is the reason that the quarterbacks have looked lackluster?
Well, that has something to do with it. I think when you look at the secondary, you look at, you know, what they present. I mean, it's not easy. I thought the defense and it was mainly the backups. They blew a lot of assignments today, defensively, just like guys running drag routes from the right to left and just would be wide open. But I think, overall, yeah, you know, anytime you go up against a defense, it's going to be a good defense. You know, I did it in Baltimore for 4 years. There's going to be some struggles there.
Sure.
But it should look better than what we've seen. It should look better.
truth somewhere in between there.
Yeah, yeah. But, I mean, look, you're going up against what should be a top five defense. And a top three secondary? I mean, like, right?
It really should be. It really should be.
What else do we want? I mean, right?
No, I mean, you're right.
We're going to say, oh, it should be a top 10 secondary? No, I mean, it should be a top three secondary.
Yep.
I mean, go through the list.
You got Ronald Darby coming off the best season of his career in Washington and the first time he's played all 16 games. You got Kyle Fuller, a former All-Pro under Vic Fangio in just 2018. Now, granted, that was years ago at this point.
Yeah.
That side of the coin deserves to get told as well. But you're optimistic about those guys. Then you got Bryce Callahan. For 10 games last year, was graded as one of the best players in all of professional football. And then you got Pat Surtain, your ninth overall pick, who looks like a flat-out stud. Those are your corners. And then your safeties, I think you could fairly argue it's one of the five best safety tandems in professional football as well, between Justin Simmons and Kareem Jackson.
Yeah.
I mean, it should that back end should be as loaded as any group combined between corners and safeties in the National Football League. No question. No question.
So you go up against that day in and day out, and then, you know, the backups, you know, look at a guy like O.J. Moutier, who was a starter last year. So, you know, I mean, they got depth. They got guys that can play inside, outside. So when you go up against them every day, you're going to have some struggles, certainly. The disappointing thing was just hope that both of those guys could build off of what we saw Saturday.
Yeah.
And they haven't.
Yeah.
And, you know, and then we get back to what have we seen here in the last 4 years? Just the inconsistent play. And can this offense get over the hump and just be more consistent? That's where I go to. And the running game obviously is going to be a big part of that. If they can run the football, you know, you could see both these quarterbacks being able to function and manage a game and being able to make some plays out there. No running game, it's going to be a struggle. It will be a struggle this year if the Broncos can't run the football.
Well, the early indicator is that they will be able to run the football. You know, that's I think is the early indicator. Now, we still have to gather more information, but if these guys, either Teddy or Drew, regardless, are put in a position where they just have to make, I don't know, Stoke, four or five throws a game that are, you know, drive extenders, you know, like Teddy Bridgewater should not have to do the heavy lifting that he was asked to do a year ago in Carolina. And this roster should be improved along with the maturity you would hope from Drew if he is the selection to start the season. I mean, both guys should be put in Teddy, maybe the best or the second best position in terms of the surrounding group that he's been in his career, going back to his second season where he was the quarterback of record for an 11-5 football team. It's the same sort of formula. And if it's Drew, you would hope that with a strong running game, play calling that is suited more to his strengths, and a great defense, that he should be able to, I mean, this should be an improved football team. But I just wish we would come in here from some of these practices with a little bit more to draw from. And we just...
A little bit more optimism, little bit more excitement. I mean, like, hey, that's what we want to do. I mean, that's what I want to do. I want to go out there and watch the offense, you know, go up and down the football field and make him plays. I don't know if Jerry Jeudy had a catch today. Noah Fant had a couple nice ones down the football field. He also dropped one. Cortland Sutton, I don't remember seeing him much today at all.
No.
Tim Patrick, I saw him out there, but he didn't make any plays. So Hamler. No, not really. I mean, so there wasn't a lot of excitement out there offensively. Unfortunately, I'd love to come in here and tell you there was fireworks out there, but that just wasn't the case today.
What was the best offensive play of the day? Was it Trinity Benson?
Yeah, I think Teddy to Trinity was one post pattern down the football field. That was a nice one, nice catch. Hung on to the football as a safety, made some contact with him, so he continues to make plays. down the football field. So I would think that was probably the best one. I think Locke hit Fant on the right sideline possibly for what would have been a long gainer. So there's a few plays out there, just not enough, enough consistency. You know, Teddy holding the ball a little bit too long today. You know, kind of looking like Drew Locke in a few plays there. Drew dirting a couple, you know, guy open on an out route, 10 to 12 yard out route near the sideline, pretty much wide open. Ball ends up at his feet. Just throw, you know, just plays from both guys that are just underwhelming. And unfortunately, that's what we have to talk about today. Yeah. I mean, you know, we're talking about these quarterbacks and love it to be flipped. Like both of these guys are balling. This thing is a great competition. Broncos can do no wrong.
And that's what that's what Saturday felt like.
Yeah,
Broncos can do no wrong. Both guys balling.
Well, top two quarterback ratings.
Top two quarterback ratings in the league of any quarterbacks that played this past week.
Both played for the Broncos. Well, I think that has something to do with twofold. Well, we talked about right after, right? We talked about, hey, the Broncos were going up against backups the whole time. Second, third, fourth. I mean, backups that we're not going to see here in a few weeks. Okay, and also, they ran the football effectively early and often. And when you're able to do that, I mean, that just frees your quarterback up,
right?
I mean, how much time did those guys have? I mean, Drew Locke seemed like he had all day in the pocket, all day. I mean, the one to Jerry Jeudy over the middle of the football field on third down, I mean, he was back there. And to his credit, he hung in there. So I'm not taking credit away from him, but I'm saying that's what a good running game does for you.
Right.
It slows down that pass rush. And so they had a great running game. And also, they're playing guys that we won't see in a couple weeks.
Yeah, and the Vikings, just to be fair, you talk about a lack of a pass rush. I went back and watched that game. On the rewatch, it's even more glaring. Mm-hmm. Like, there wasn't even an opportunity, really, for one of these quarterbacks to get sacked. I mean, there wasn't really an opportunity. It just kind of is what it is, and you hope that that running game and competent play calling and a really good defense is enough.
Right.
That you're betting on this roster that it's enough from that standpoint, where the quarterbacks really just kind of have to manage things.
And that's how they're going to have to win football games. You know, we've been talking about that for a long time, me and you. We've been talking about forever. Going to have to run the football. They're going to be a run first football team. Got to play great defense. That's the recipe, and that's what we saw on Saturday. That's what we saw.
We did.
And that's how they're going to have to win football games this year. It's not sexy, but you know what is sexy? Winning and throwing 80-yard bombs.
That's right.
Those plays will present themselves down the football field. It's not all boring football. Because once teams start committing to the run, now you have the Hamlers over the top. Now you have, you know, Jeudy one-on-one coverage. Those types of things free up your offense, and they make the quarterback's job so much easier. Easier to do. Easier to go out there and perform and make plays.
All right, we'll see, you know, what it looks like, obviously, in practice tomorrow. And then, you know, possibly the best litmus test on Saturday against the Seattle Seahawks team. Don't know how they're going to handle their guys yet.
Yeah.
And that's going to be like,
I mean, you won't see a guy like, probably you won't see Jamal Adams play.
Will you see Russell Wilson?
That's a good question. I don't know. I don't know how Pete handles it. I mean, Jamal hadn't been practicing. He just signed his contract. He was there. He just wasn't practicing. They call it that the hold in.
Melvin Ingram did that 2 years back.
Yes. Yes.
The hold in.
Yeah. So I don't know. I'm not expecting Jamal Adams to play. I don't know how Pete will handle preseason. Russell Wilson, I wouldn't play him. But it's a new offense.
True. Good point. Good point.
But I'm more concerned with who they're playing defensively. Like for my evaluation, I really don't care if they play Russell Wilson or not. I feel good about our defense. You know, I mean... And, you know, you look at a guy like Von Miller. He didn't play. He's been out a couple days here, I think, the last couple days.
Yep.
I'm not playing Von. I'm not doing it. I'm not. We talked about it last week. And I'm not doing it.
If you're not playing him against the Seahawks, you're not going to play him against the Rams.
No. And I know he wants to play, wants to knock some of the rust off. 17 games, man. He'll be fine. This guy has been an all-pro. He was almost defensive MVP. He can get it going when he needs to get it going. Get it going in practice a little bit, maybe crank it up in practice. But I'm not putting him on the football field, with him missing the last couple of days.
Yeah.
You know, put that into context here. No, you know, I'm not going to just throw him out there Saturday. And I'm not going to play him the last game. Game I'm treating like the last preseason game of every year, even though you have an extra week now to rest up and recover. I'm just I'm being cautious if I'm Vic with certain guys and Von at the top of that list.
Everything that you said there makes sense. My counter is there is a natural worry for me for a guy who hasn't played football in a long time. I mean, this is 2019 is the last time that Von Miller played football, and I worry from an injury standpoint for a guy who hasn't played in a couple of years, saying, hey, go knock the dust off in an actual NFL game. It's just, for me, it's like...
Well, how many plays would you want him to play, though?
A series.
Is that going to really, like, all of a sudden callous him up? One series, which might be 4 plays, 5 plays, is that, like, going to get him calloused up to where now he's going to go out there and not be injured because he played 5 plays?
No, it's not going to get you calloused up, but I think that it'll be something. In your plan, which is fair, coaches are doing it league wide. It's nothing, I just worry.
But it's
about,
like, you're dipping your toe in the water. Either you jump in the stinking water, or you don't even put your foot in the water. Is where I'm at. So if you're gonna play him, well, let's get him ready to play football. Let's play him a half, or let's play him a quarter and a half. Right? Let's go into the second quarter with, like, let's play 3 or 4 series. Get your feet under you. Get your legs under you. Get ready to play football. You know? I mean, let's not just dip the toe in it. So I think if you dip the toe in it, that's the worst thing to do. It's like, either do it or don't do it.
Well, here's the thing about this, and I feel like we talk about this almost every year. There's no concrete right answer.
No, you're exactly right.
If Von Miller comes out of the gate and has a sack in late the third quarter that shifts the momentum of a game, or, you know, furthers momentum, whatever, sudden change, whatever, then it worked. And if he starts slow or has a setback, I mean, it's the ultimate results oriented thing. And either route you go, it is a bit of a roll of a dice. Cause how bad would it be if you go out there and plan for a series or two against Seattle and there's a legitimate setback and he's not going to be ready till week 9?
Yeah. No, it'd be awful. It'd be awful. But I think either you do it or you don't. You know, let's not go out and play 5 or 6 plays. What is that going to really accomplish? So either go all in and play him, you know, a quarter or two and get him really ready, or just don't play him at all. And I think in Von's situation, he hadn't practiced the last couple of days. He's been in the NFL, 10 years or so. I mean, look, hey, he's too valuable. You missed him too much last year. Let's just take the cautious approach. That's what I would do with him.
Okay, not crazy. Not crazy. We'll see how they ultimately...
Kareem Jackson, not playing him. Justin Simmons, not playing him. I mean, that's where I am right now in this preseason with a lot of these guys, especially the veteran guys on defense. Fuller, Darby, nope. Not doing it.
All right. We will circle back maybe to the offensive side of the football.
Yeah,
in which
that's
guys
a different story.
Should or shouldn't play this weekend. Stokely and Zach's analysis of Training Camp 50-50, Teddy versus Drew, is powered by Twin Peaks. Eats, drinks, scenic views. All right, do we have a bit of a controversy from a moment yesterday in practice with Drew Lock, Pat Shurmur, Teddy Bridgewater? This one suddenly gets so much more interesting, and we'll take a dive into it coming up next.
It's Training Camp 50-50, Teddy versus Drew, powered by Twin Peaks. Here's Stokely and Zach.
So apparently we got a little controversy. Oh, man. Can't make this stuff up. Can't make it up. All right, yesterday, Drew Lock, we were out there at practice, and it looked like Drew Lock got pulled out of a drill. That's what it looked like. Stoke, you've been watching football with your own eyeballs for a very long time.
Mm-hmm.
Did it look like Drew Lock got pulled out of a drill?
Yes. Look, I trust my eyes, okay? I trust my football instinct. And you can try to tell me whatever you want, but I know what I saw yesterday, okay? I know what I saw. I saw an upset Pat Shurmur, and I saw Drew Lock in the huddle and Pat telling Teddy to go in the huddle. And now if you want to tell me that, you know, his reps were up and it was Teddy's turn, you can tell me that, but I'm not believing it. I'm not buying it because the way it went down, those clues just don't add up to what with what I saw. And the other part of it is Teddy started
that
drill.
Correct.
So he started it.
Correct.
So he had his four or five reps. And then Drew goes, right? What does Drew go? Four or five reps, right?
Yeah.
Then Hogan usually comes in, right?
Ripping.
Yeah, Hogan, Ripping, Allen, Flacco, Keenum, whoever, right? Then they come in for a couple reps, right?
Yep.
Drew only had like two or three reps. That was it. He's supposed to have a couple more.
Yeah.
Like, it just didn't add up to what we've been seeing. And then all of a sudden, you're going to put Teddy back in. They don't do that. It's like one guy goes, the next guy goes, and then, you know, put in Ripping. That's the way it always has been. So all of a sudden, it just flipped on me. Like, they're going, Teddy, Drew, Teddy? Huh? No. That I haven't seen it all, Camp.
And plus you match up with your eyes. Like, what are your eyes telling you?
Pat
like,
Shurmur was pissed.
Yes. This is not that hard. It's really not. It's really not. But it's being made very, very difficult to diagnose. Here's DMAC from last night on Twitter.com.
There's been different interpretations of what happened yesterday when Teddy came in for you and he kind of tapped you out. Okay, you're laughing already. Can you tell us what happened there?
Yeah. You know, we have... Believe it or not, we have scripts that are set reps, and just so happened that there was talk about a play, and it was actually my last rep of that set. So I didn't make the right read on a play, then came out, and it obviously looked like me and Shurmur having an altercation. He pulled me out until you get in there. No, it was the last set of the period. I just always, after every play, I walk to the huddle. And then I see Teddy come on, okay, I'm out. I don't know exactly when my last plays are and everything, but no, it's how the script rolls in practice.
Okay. I mean, look, if that's what you're telling me, if that's what happened, then that's what happened. But he did say he made the wrong read. Pat Shurmur was upset about that read. Then it just from my vantage point, from what I saw, looked really, really odd and different. Hasn't happened yet. It hasn't been Teddy, Drew, then back to Teddy. And then that went down. Pat Shurmur was upset, and Drew was in the huddle waiting, and Pat told Teddy to go in there. Now, do they have different things on the script? Possibly. I'm not saying that they're lying. I'm just telling you what my eyes told me.
Yeah.
And it's a little bit different than what they're telling me, but hey, it is what it is. It's not a big deal.
No.
It's not a big deal at all. So if he didn't get pulled, he didn't get pulled, but it was – Drew was performing bad. I saw Pat upset before that, and I don't know who he was upset at. I don't know. It wasn't Drew. He was upset at somebody. And then, you know, 5-10 minutes later, he gets upset again. And Drew, you know, obviously didn't go through his reads or throw it to the right guy, whatever the case may be, gets in the huddle, gets, you know, then Teddy comes in there. Drew's ready to call play. Teddy comes in there. And we haven't seen that all of camp, really.
No.
Can you think of a time where it's gone Teddy,
no.
Drew, back to Teddy?
No, especially, I mean, this is within the same drill.
Same drill.
They didn't switch the format.
No.
This was the same drill. So, again, you know, whatever. And I set up the we played a piece of audio.
Yeah, that one, Twitter.com.
No, last night, DMAC on Twitter said, I found out tonight Locke wasn't pulled from a drill. It was simply a matter of losing count of how many reps he was supposed to be in and then being coached about a previous play when he came over to his coaches. Happens all the time. Nothing more than that. You know, this is a... First of all, who is DMAC finding that out from?
I don't know.
Last night.
Ask DMAC.
I will just give a wild guess. Is he quoting another media member? Probably not.
Probably not.
Right? Is he quoting Drew Lock last night? Did he talk to Drew Lock last night?
Might have talked to Andy.
Maybe talk to Andy Lock.
Maybe.
My guess is he talked to someone from the team. That would be my guess. All right? These are converse. This is my biggest takeaway. I don't care about what happened yesterday. I really don't. Whatever. It's practice. These are converse. This reminds me of practicing indoors versus practicing outdoors with Vance Joseph.
Yeah.
When it is, you know, it was cold. They went inside to practice.
Right.
Why is that made a big deal?
It's cold.
And when it's cold, it's tough.
Cold.
Right?
Yeah.
Why was that made a big deal? Because it was a bad football team. These are conversations that bad football teams have.
That's right.
That's my takeaway. They're not talking about, like, if Josh Allen got removed from a drill to get coached up, and but no one cares. That's not a story.
Nope.
This is what bad football teams talk about. And when guys start playing defense for the team and it becomes a narrative, this is what bad football teams do. So
that's, no, you're right.
That's my biggest takeaway.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. When you don't have a quarterback, these things become stories.
Yep.
And when you're a bad football team, become stories. But you're absolutely right. So what are you saying about D-Mac?
Oh, no, I'm not saying anything about D-Mac.
I thought you were trying to start that beef again.
No.
You sure?
I am positive.
We can do it. You're about to leave town, too. That'd be fun. Give us something to talk about the next couple of days.
No, the last thing I want is friction with D-Mac. D-Mac and I have got along famously for years. We just have a little dust up. I want to pound his ass.
There you go. That was a little dust up.
No, but I would just guess that someone that D-Mac talked to last night is employed by the Denver Broncos. And every other week when they get their paycheck, the Broncos logo and watermark is on that check. That's my guess.
Yeah.
But here's the other thing. I just want to emphasize, I don't care. I don't care about the play. I don't care about, could it be a microcosm for something else? Quite possibly. But again, these are just conversations that really bad football teams have in the midst of a quarterback controversy, 50-50, no separation, even Steven. Same birthday, November 10th.
Yeah, it's
by the way,
it's
it just is what it is.
You know, you see a quarterback get pulled, and the coach wants to talk to him about certain things that they've gone over. Whatever, it's not a big deal. But when you're in the Broncos situation, you'd rather it be, well, he didn't get pulled. It was just, you know, Teddy's turn to go in, and then they discussed what went wrong, and that happened. So it could be either way. I just, you know, my eyes told me one thing, and if they're telling me this thing, it doesn't really add up for me. But at the same time, it could have been the way that it went down, and it's fine, whatever. But it just tells you what the other thing that it tells me is Pat Shurmur's frustrated with Drew Locke. How about that? Pat Shurmur's frustrated with Drew Locke, and it reached a tipping point in that. At that time, okay? So there's something that's been emphasized to Drew, something that has been talked about with Drew. And when you continue to make the same mistakes, that's the reaction you get from a coach.
And
what Pat Shurmur did yesterday. That was that reaction.
I'm going to ask you to speculate here. If you had to guess, all right, not hold you to it, I'm literally asking you to speculate. If you had to guess what Pat Shurmur was frustrated yesterday with Drew Locke, what would it be?
Well, I got two guesses. It's either, you know, getting rid of the football quicker, or going through your right reads and progressions. You know, he didn't quite, like, somebody was open and he didn't start at the right spot and got there too late, then the guy was covered, that kind of thing. And that's why he held the ball too long. So they all kind of mesh together. It's that. That's what it is. That's Drew Locke's issue. And you could just see the frustration with Pat Shurmur. You know, when you constantly preach something, you talk about a certain play and you say, hey, start here, go here. And then they don't start there, and where they're supposed to start, that guy's open and the play's there and they don't deliver it. That's why you're frustrated. And that's why Pat Shurmur was frustrated.
I think that's a pretty good guess.
Yeah.
Educated
guess.
Yeah. Right. That's called a hypothesis. Get that educated guess, not just a guess.
The hypothenuse.
Hypothesis. So you give a hypothesis. That's a guess based off an education, and you have a pretty good football education.
Mm.
I'm not sure if you can, you know, read a book.
Right.
When it comes to football.
Yeah, that's my specialty.
It's science.
You know football. All right. A prominent Denver Bronco gave an injury update on himself this week, and did it raise any alarms? Take a dive into it coming up next.
Has Vic's back.
When you're a head coach, you have to delegate responsibilities across the board. You can't watch every single thing. By the way, when the defense and offense gets together, guess what he's doing? He's watching freaking practice. So everyone that's out there saying, well, hey, why is Big Fangio not paying attention to the offense? Maybe you're not paying attention to what's going on because he's watching practice.
Training Camp 50-50, Teddy versus Drew.
It's totally 50-50. Maybe I'll flip a coin.
Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan.
Matthews Fine Watches and Jewelry, your engagement go-to. We sell mined GIA-certified diamonds as well as the very popular lab-created diamond at a fraction of the price. Matthews, great service, selection, and prices. Located in the Highland Ranch Town Center or online at MatthewsFineWatches.com.
Hey, what's up, guys? It's Zach here on behalf of my friends at American Financing. I got a question for you guys out there. Have you taken advantage of these low mortgage rates? If not, you need to pick up the phone and start a conversation with American Financing, because you might be missing out on hundreds of dollars in monthly savings, maybe more. Guys, I mean it. The mortgage consultants over there are salary-based experts, and they're known for saving people up to $1,000 a month. It is a no-pressure, no-obligation experience with no upfront or hidden fees either. That's not how American Financing does business. Instead, they're going to walk you through the process so you can choose a custom loan that fits your specific budget. They've been helping people just like me and you in our backyard of Colorado for the last 2 decades with an A-plus rating from the Better Business Bureau. So start a conversation at 303-695-7000. That's 303-695-7000, or visit them online at AmericanFinancing.net. And guys, when you do, make sure you tell me you heard about it from Zach at The Fan.
American Financing, NMLS number 182334. Call 303-695-7000 or visit AmericanFinancing.net.
Tune in to hear Mike Kliss every week exclusively right here on 104.3 The Fan. Mike Kliss appearances are powered by BetRivers Sportsbook.
Hey, it's Tyler here, and trust me, as an offensive lineman, I know my pizza. So go on over to Old Chicago. Old Chicago has the best scratch-made pizza, calzones, and famous Sicilian pepperoni rolls. Try their Detroit-style pan pizza with fresh brick cheese and a crispy butter crust. They've got 110 local and legendary beers, seltzers, cocktails, and wine. At Old Chicago, all the football games are always on, so sit back, enjoy, make some memories, and root on your favorite team from miles high. See you soon.
Brenda Stokely here for my friends at Roller Auctions. Roller Auctions has been a leader in Colorado auctions for over 40 years. They conduct over 150 auctions every year, selling tens of thousands of items at the price you set. Also, all bidding is conducted online in real time and is open to the public. Be the first to know about new auctions available for bidding when you sign up for email notifications, just like I did. All you have to do is go to rollerauction.com/the fan to get signed up. That's rollerauction.com/the fan to learn more.
Lately, we've been getting a lot of calls and questions about sound wave therapy for the treatment of erectile dysfunction. This is Jeff for the Rocky Mountain Men's Clinic, and if you're looking at acoustic wave therapy for ED, you should definitely call us. Our Intrapulse protocols use acoustic wave technology, but also combine it with other treatments that give most patients far more satisfactory results. There is no surgery nor any type of invasive procedures required. And unlike clinics that offer sound wave treatment only, with our protocols, you can likely have sex the day after your appointment and also have a much more satisfactory experience for both you and your partner. With our treatments, you can last up to an hour and a half or more, and our expertise in treating these issues means you'll get the results you want. So make your appointment today. We'll show you why our Intrapulse program is the better way to do wave therapy. Call 720-440-7900 or go to RockyMountainMen'sClinic.com. We have clinics in Central and North Denver, Castle Rock, Colorado Springs, and our new location in Fort Collins.
The Dave single from Wendy's, made with fresh, never frozen beef, has the power to blow your mind. But now that the Dave single is buy one, get one for a buck, as well as the spicy or classic chicken sandwich and the spicy or crispy 10-piece nuggets, Wendy's BOGO for $1 deal is gonna blow your mind and your speakers. Get these faves. BOGO $1 only at Wendy's.
Limited time only. Price and participation may vary. Valid for item of equal or lesser value. Cannot be combined with combo or any other offer.
Stokely and Zach on The Fan is presented by Bet Rivers Sportsbook.
Denver Sports Snapshot.
Rockies face off with the Padres at Coors Field on ESPN Denver 1600. Brewers battle the Cardinals. Broadcast starts at 5.
Snapshot presented by Schomp BMW. One price, one person, 1 hour.
Training Camp 50-50, Teddy versus Drew, powered by Twin Peaks. Here's Stokely and Zach.
Yesterday, man, this is a big year for Bradley Chubb. I mean, in terms of magnitude for both Chubb and the organization, this feels like a 9 out of 10, does it not, Stoke?
Yeah, it's huge. You know, he's going to be going into his fifth year. They've already picked up the option. You need to kind of see, do you have something like that you can really count on? You know, we don't know what's going to be happening with Vaughn after this year. It's the last year of his contract. And so, you know, do you have at least one of these guys that you can count on moving forward? So I think it's huge when it comes to Vaughn's future here also. And then the prospects of having to possibly start looking to draft another guy. Or how are you going to find pass rushers? All of a sudden you can go from, you know, having a lot to a little quick.
Right. Right. And the idea was when you draft a Chubb, I mean, the edge rusher is one of the most five important positions on a football team. But it was the idea of like, hey, if and when Vaughn does move on due to go to another team or retirement, you have your franchise edge rusher. May not have a franchise quarterback, but you have a franchise edge rusher for years beyond Von Miller.
Yeah.
And there's still question marks about that. And Bradley Chubb yesterday was asked where his health is at right now.
About 98%, I would say. The other 2% is probably just going to come in from next couple weeks, these preseason games, and just get into the flow of football. But I feel good. Body feels good and doing everything to stay on top of it.
98%.
Good. I mean, you know, he looks like he's running around good out there. Doesn't look like he has any limitations in practice, so... That's good. Good news, you know, hopefully.
It's great news.
It just continues to head in that direction. You know, started off on the PUP list, correct? Or was practicing off to the side.
Yeah, practicing off to the side.
And so just didn't quite know what he would look like coming back. But he looks good. I mean, he looks like he's healthy. There's not a limp or anything like that. So
yep. Full go.
Yep, full go. That's good news.
Bradley Chubb, will you play on Saturday?
We haven't talked, honestly, so I really do not know. But if my number is called, I'll be ready. If it's not, then I'll do whatever it takes to help these guys get ready, these young guys get ready. So either way, I'm going to be ready to go.
Okay, so either way, he'll be ready. What do you think?
We talked about Vaughn. I said I wouldn't play him at all. I wouldn't play Vaughn any of these preseason games. What do you say about Bradley Chubb?
From me or what I think Vic will handle
no,
it?
No, you. How would you handle it?
I would like to see Chubb out there a little bit.
What's a little bit?
Quarter?
Two quarters?
Five
plays?
It doesn't need to be a full quarter, but kind of same thought with Vaughn. Maybe a little bit more with Chubb. Vaughn's coming off a season-ending injury, hasn't played at all. So maybe handle him even more delicately than Chubb. Chubb played last year.
Yeah.
Chubb.
But he's also just had surgery.
That very true.
Right?
Very true. But if you're 98%, you're full go in practice every day, I think I'd like to see him for a series or two. Nothing crazy. But again, I don't think there's a wrong or right answer here.
Yeah, I'm going same answer as Vaughn.
Okay.
I wouldn't play him. I just think that, remember last year when he got dinged up right before the start of the season in that walkthrough semi-scrimmage at mm-hmm. the field?
Mm-hmm.
And he started off so slow. He's coming off this ankle deal, that surgery that he had. I wouldn't even throw him out there. I just wait. Just get ready to go. Once again, you know, now we're playing 17 games. It's a long season. I just worry about him getting dinged up in a preseason game, going out there for whatever, a quarter, and then having this lingering issue now where he's like last year. He's just not quite ready to go. Let's just try to keep this thing moving forward. And it's tough, though, like you said. I mean, it's different ways to look at it. It's tough. I mean, you want the guys ready to go because it's important to start quick.
Right.
I mean, Vic needs to start quick.
Right.
They got winnable games. You got to win these games. Right. You got to go 2-1. And so you want your guys playing well, but you also don't want them nursing an injury.
That's right.
So, but I would take the cautious approach with Chubb.
Does Bradley Chubb want to play this weekend?
Honestly, I just want some action, man, and it doesn't matter when it comes. It could come this week, next week. I just want to be able to test it out, the ankle and stuff like that, and just have a clear head going into the season. So I'm looking forward to whatever coach has in mind, whatever these trainers have in mind. Like I said, I'm just trusting what they do and just doing everything I can that I can control.
Does Bradley Chubb have a vote in this?
No. I mean, play. You know, you can't just let the players dictate, you know, what goes on. You got to have a plan and a discussion. Now, you talk with him through it. And, you know, if he says, hey, coach, I'd like to play a series or two, and you don't want him to play, just say, hey, look, you're too valuable. We'll get you some extra work in practice. We'll get you ready to go. Those types of things. We can do some different things where it's a little bit more controlled, but I want you healthy, ready to go game one. You know, a lot of guys want to play, like, especially if you're Bradley Chubb. You know, you're ready to go. And like Von Miller, he's been out a year. You're ready to, he wants to play now.
Right.
Let's go.
That's the competitor in you.
Exactly. But as a coach and as a guy, you have to look at the bigger picture, the big picture here. And, so sometimes that doesn't line up with what the player wants. And that's okay. But you discuss it with them and you tell them the reasons why. And maybe they agree, maybe they don't. But ultimately, that's Vic's call. And Vic's been more cautious than aggressive when it comes to these things. So I would think that, I don't know. I would think that you're probably not going to see much of either one of those guys. But who knows?
Time will tell. Don't have to wait too much longer.
No,
but I mean, I'll say this though. I will say this though, and tell me if you agree with this. If you do have plans to let them knock the dust off, whether it's a series, two series, a quarter, whatever, I think the wiser move would be to make it this weekend. If there is some sort of setback, create more time between yourself and the first game where it really matters.
Yeah, I like that. Yeah. If you're going to play them, do it now. Just get it done with. My one hesitation with Von is he missed the last couple days.
True.
So
true. Yeah, that's a little bit different.
It's a different. But I think with Bradley Chubb, if you plan on playing, just do it. You're right. Just do it this weekend. And if not, if you don't play him this weekend, I just don't think you throw him out there against in that last one against the Rams.
Okay. All right. Let me shoehorn this in here. This is wild. Did not expect to see this here. The allegations of sexual assault and inappropriate behavior against Texans quarterback Deshaun Watson are being investigated by the FBI. Watson's lawyer, Rusty Harden, said Wednesday. I'm taking this from Sarah Barshop of ESPN.com. Doing a good job of covering this story down in Houston. Harden also said that Watson spoke to the FBI about allegations of extortion regarding one of the 23 lawsuits filed against the quarterback, of which 22 are still active. Quote, and this is from Rusty Harden, quote, in April, the FBI came to us and told us everything they were investigating. Excuse me. In April, the FBI came to us and told us they were investigating a matter as to whether one of Mr. Busby's clients had committed extortion in a way they were demanding money from Deshaun or what they would do if they didn't pay it, Harden said in a news conference. Quote, we were not the ones who contacted them. They contacted us. We talked to the FBI. We even let them interview Deshaun. And if y'all can find a lawyer that will let his client talk to the FBI, if the lawyer had thought his client had done anything wrong or had any exposure, then I'll be very, very surprised, end quote.
I mean, you think his lawyer was in the room with him when he was getting interviewed?
I would think so.
Probably. So if there was something that he didn't want to talk about, you know, I'm sure Harden just said, don't answer, you know, whatever. So, yeah, this thing just is twisting and turning all over the place, man.
Crazy.
I can't follow it. I mean, it's so hard to follow. Just tell me when it's over, I guess, or I don't know. It's all over the map. One lawyer says this, the other lawyer has a press conference. I mean,
we are going to check in with Sean Pendergrass
out
of Houston, who is the best. They're 6'10", down there in the Lone Star State. You are not going to want to miss, Sean Pendergrass.
Today. Oh, cool. Yeah. I didn't know that.
Yeah, well, you didn't look at the rundown.
No, why do that?
All right, a well-respected...
They saw the fun out of it.
A well-respected national voice has very lofty expectations for the Broncos after watching their first preseason game. We'll tell you who said what coming up next.
Miss any of Stokely and Zach? Make sure to subscribe to our on-demand podcast. You'll get every episode as soon as they're released. Just subscribe wherever you get your podcasts or at 1043thefan.com.